Coming up on Golf Today, Scotty ends 2024 with a 9th victory around the world. Back-to-back at Tiger's event? Yes, he did. What is next for the world number one? And speaking of the big cat, how much golf will Tiger play in 2025? What is realistic? Should you move on or dream big when it comes to the 15-time major champ? And if not Tiger, what will be the biggest storyline of 2025? Ryder Cup, Rory, reunification of the game? Time to put on the thinking caps. It's Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Hello, Golf Today on a Monday. Damon Hack beside my old friend Anna Jackson. We go back to our Florida days. Great to be with you. Where's your mind in this dizzying December?
Well, I would first of all agree with that. It's a pleasure to be on the desk with you for the next hour, Mr. Damon Hack. I just think, you know, breaking news, Scottie Scheffler wins again. It's been such an amazing season for him, and it feels like on the men and the women's game, our prayers have been answered for that dominant start, especially on the women's game, I think, with Nelly, what, 7 wins on the LPGA this season. And then you just look at what Scottie has been doing, and we're going to be talking about it for the next hour nonstop, because he is rewriting the record books, and what he has done and what he will probably continue to do next season is very exciting for all of us, I think, in the golf space.
Breaks out the saw claw grip and wins by 6. I love seeing world number ones or great teams in sports, dynasties, Packers, Yankees, Lakers, be great. And when you have a dominant Sunday, you earn a Sunday best.
Yes.
That's exactly what Scottie Scheffler did on Sunday at Albany. It's what he's been doing all season long. So let's look back at kind of his handiwork in the Bahamas from Sunday, because he birdied the first hole, Anna. He birdied the third hole. Here he is now from 49 feet at the fourth.
It was just unbelievable. It's so good to see him rolling in these kind of putts. D-Hat, we know this is kind of where he struggled with his game earlier in the season, but it's all coming together.
Yeah, he has the mallet putter. Now, this is the saw grip out in 32. So now he's at 10 for birdie from 20 feet.
Just amazing. A little, you know, tap for the fans there. He knows what he's doing. Moves to 5 under on the round. Now onto the 13th, his second.
Tiger was in the NBC Golf Tower with Dan Hicks and Smiley Coffin. Speaking of Tiger, it looked a lot like Tiger Woods' height of power. Distance control, everything working for the 2-time major champ.
Tiger said Scotty's the best iron player in the game right now. And look, he's leading by 5 coming up 18. So why not just win by 6 and stick it like this?
Give the fans what they came to see. Another shot hole high, and this, it's just all academic at this point.
Absolute clinic by the world number one, Scottie Scheffler. Final round, bogey-free, 63 to win by 6. Started the day trailing by 1, but ultimately he would go back-to-back at Tiger's event, a place where he is beginning to love very well indeed. Now just the 3rd player to go back-to-back at the Hero World Challenge. Tiger, of course, has won his own event 5 times. He went back-to-back in 06, 07. Hovland had a fantastic run, then went on to the season of his career in 2023. And now Scottie Scheffler defends at the Hero World Challenge. So after his win, he was asked to reflect a little bit about the sheer success that he's had this season.
Scottie, this feels as good a time as any to sum up the year as a whole. It's been an incredible year for you. How do you assess it and what you have achieved?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. You know, I think it's been a great year. It's been a fun year. You know, I've been fortunate to get some wins out of some really good golf. And, you know, this was another week where I played really solid and was able to see some nice results from that. And, you know, overall, it was a pretty fun year.
Good a Martin over here.
Some people thought you might go off the boil after becoming a dad for the first time. You've proved them wrong, have you not?
I guess so. I'm not really out here to prove anybody right or wrong, but yeah, being a dad has been a lot of fun, and it's really cool watching my little guy develop, and it's been a ton of fun for Meredith and me. And you know, he's like our little buddy. He just comes with us everywhere. He's around this week, and it's been a lot of fun. We've had some pretty cool memories with little man around. I never really play golf for a legacy. That's not something that I think about day to day. I play because I love the competition. I love coming out here and competing. I like trying to get the most out of myself out here on the golf course. And You know, that's why I'm always trying to improve, trying to do little things to get better. And I don't think about records. I don't think about achievements, wins, losses. I just try and get the most out of myself and come out here and compete and have a good attitude.
Just a quick follow-up. I know it's an awful thing to ask in a year when you won 9 titles. Is there anything else that you would have loved to win?
Is there anything else I would have liked to have won? I'm not sure how many tournaments I played, but I probably still won less than half. So that other half, you know.
The wins apart, which was your best tournament of the year? And I'm not talking about the result. Just which was the best tournament in terms of how you felt? I mean, everything put together, not just the trophy at the end.
I mean, I'm not really sure. I think, you know, when I look back at this year, you know, the Olympics is pretty special. I think winning the Players was extremely special in the Masters. I mean, I would say those are the three that are a little bit different than the rest of the tournaments. You know, back-to-back Players was pretty cool. Winning a second green jacket was pretty awesome, and a gold medal was pretty cool as well. So I would say those three are slightly different than the rest of them.
Well, he said he almost won half of his events this year, and he would have liked to have won the other half, but this is exactly what he did achieve in 21 starts, 9 wins worldwide, including that Olympic gold medal, and just capped it off just this week at the Hero runner-up. A couple of runner-ups as well, 18 top 10s, 19 top 25s, and not a single missed cut. So it's been a very special year. Scottie Scheffler.
It has, Anna. And as you know, everyone has a microphone these days. Ben On took to X yesterday. I don't care what anyone says. Scottie this season was as good as one of Tiger's best seasons on tour. He took some flack. He said, it seems like a lot of old people got offended by my tweet, like how they debate about Jack versus Tiger. So I hopped on X and said, hey, go and have your tweet on our show tomorrow. We appreciate the content. I covered many of those Tiger years. I think you're right. 9 wins around the world, historic iron play. And Ben said, hey, it's not just the wins, but his golfing stats are incredible. Putting is the weakest, but still stronger than the average. And I said, hey, breaks out the saw and wins by 6. And I do think he's right. And 9 wins around the world, a second green jacket, a second Players, you become the first ever to win the Players back-to-back. You win the Tour Championship, the season-long race, the FedEx Cup, an Olympic gold, recognized around the world in tears like Novak Djokovic winning at Roland Garros. You add 4 signature events, and now you win with this saw claw. Can we talk about the putter for 5 minutes? It's supposed to be the weakest part of his game. Did you see what he did on those greens, that grainy Bermuda? Let's look inside the numbers. Inside of 10 feet, 63 of 65. Look at those steady hands, Anna. He was rock solid. Said he'd been practicing at home. It's another thing to break it out in competition. First in approach putt performance. First tied in 3 putt avoidance. Third in strokes gained putting. I know it's 20 players in the field. You want to talk about some rocket fuel for 2025. He's tinkering, and he found something beautiful on those grainy Bermuda greens.
That's right, and it's another thing that makes you think of Tiger when you think of Scottie. He has the best season of his career,
yeah.
But yet he continues to think, well, how can I get better?
Right.
That's exactly what Tiger did. And you listen to what Tiger was talking about, you know, in the box there with the guys, and how you just get the sense that he can see a little bit of himself in Scottie, just in ways that he talks about his consistency, and he rarely makes any errors out there. He's the best iron player. He, you know, 0 3 putts, let alone a 2 putt half the time. And it's really fascinating to watch Tiger kind of just pay so much respect for Scottie. And you mentioned it, DHAC, you've spent so many years covering Tiger. As a viewer, how do you compare the experience watching Scottie to watching Tiger?
I mean, Tiger's the red shirt, the fist pump, the dynamism, the machismo. Scottie goes about it in a different way. But I tell you what, Tiger faced some flack early in the 90s when people were starting to compare him to Hogan and to Jack and to Bobby Jones. And it turned out that Tiger Woods was of that ilk. And maybe Scottie Scheffler eventually will be of that ilk. Think about some of Jack's historic years, 72, 75. Some 20, 25 years later, it was Tiger. So maybe this is what's supposed to happen. You have your Roger and Rafa and Novak, and then you have Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner. maybe Scottie Scheffler ultimately will be of the Tiger Woods ilk, of the Jack Nicklaus ilk, you know, of the Ben Hogan ilk, of the Bobby Jones ilk. Time will tell, but I tell you what, there are a lot of markers that look a lot like Tiger Woods, even if the packaging and the presentation isn't exactly the same.
Which is so interesting because they're so different, but I think it's also Scottie's outlook on life that makes him so dangerous, and it is that understated modesty, the concept that everything that I'm doing inside the ropes, that's all God's plan. You know, it's not totally in my control, which kind of relieves a little bit of pressure, relieves a bit of expectation, because if it happens, it happens. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I've got an amazing wife and a beautiful boy. Yeah. And it's all part of who he is. And I think that makes him really scary to play against because there isn't much pressure on his shoulders.
He's got a wife that keeps him humble. He's got sisters. Anyone who's grew up with sisters, they'll keep you humble. Mm-hmm. Well, but you're right. I mean, this is someone who's had the same coach since he was 7, 8 years old. There's a beautiful simplicity to the way Scottie Scheffler goes about his business. Very process-oriented, very much present thinking. He doesn't look too far ahead, doesn't look behind. You could hear it in his post-round sound there. But I tell you what, don't mistake his modesty for a lack of vigor and fire and hunger. The man has heat coming off his body, and he loves to compete.
And by the way, I'm loving the sense of humor that we're getting from Scottie, in the last...
Yeah.
Like, in his press conference, and he was asked, you know, what do you and Tiger talk about when you're at practicing? And his answer was, you know, we talk about how we feel like we don't get paid enough. You know,
I really feel like I haven't earned
enough money this year on the PGA Tour. Just a little sprinkling of irony. Nice to get some personality out of the world, number one. Well, speaking of Tiger, of course, we did get to see him a lot last week. So when we return on the show, big week for Tiger. He played tournament host at the Hero World Challenge, but we might get to see Tiger tee it up again. We will hear from him coming up next.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Back on Golf Today, incredible year for Scottie. Ends with a 9th worldwide win in the Bahamas yesterday. Tiger, acting as tournament host, presented Scottie with the trophy. And over the weekend, Tiger spent some time in the booth during NBC's coverage. Here is some of the best.
How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm getting better.
I know you had a press conference earlier this week, and I know you're heartbroken you weren't able to play in this tournament, but you're not ready to go.
No, I'm not ready to go, but I wasn't ready to play against these guys. these guys are the best in the world here, so no, I wasn't sharp enough. I wasn't good enough to compete at this level, not yet. So we'll get in there.
What do you make of what you're seeing of Scottie Scheffler, speaking of best in the world? This guy is the the last 2 years, the absolute benchmark of the game today.
I think was his consistency each and every week. He doesn't really do anything really wrong. You see his footwork and his all these different things, the contortions that he gets into. But if you stand behind him and you watch ball flight, it's very tight either way, either left, right to left, and he moves it up and down easily either way. JT's been trending this way. He's been doing a lot of hard work this entire summer, and it's starting to click in here in the fall, and I think that the work he's done is going to really pay dividends next year.
How often do you guys exchange texts? Quite a bit. He's a little long with that one.
Yes, he had a couple iron shots a little long today. JT and I, of course, daily.
What's the key to keeping the foot on the gas pedal like that those years?
I hit it well, but look at all those years I putted well. And I didn't really make a whole lot of mistakes. It kind of what Scottie's doing right now, what he's done the entire year. Yes, he's making significant amount of birdies, but he's not making any mistakes. No doubles, no loose bogeys here and there. Sometimes he goes entire tournaments without three putts, maybe one three putt. These are all just simple mistakes you can just clean up. And if you do that over a course of time, you'll put yourself in a lot of positions. And if you're able to put yourself in a lot of positions, you can snake a couple. To where he's from, what he's meant to the Northeast, I think it's a natural fit. His connection, he's not really that old.
38.
Yeah, so he's got most of the guys he's played with, he's played a lot with, and I think that he has naturally been a very emotional and very fiery, opinionated leader. And I think that he'll do really well there at Bethpage.
And again, there were many who thought you were going to be the guy for the job.
Well, there was quite a bit of talk.
Nicely done.
I've got a few things going on with yeah. boards and things that we need to get handled.
Exactly. That was a heck of a putt there by Keegan Bradley.
Tiger with one of the few guys who has experience as a playing captain back in Melbourne. What do you think about Keegan playing so well?
He could. He could sneak himself in there and either get on the team or do what I did, just force myself as a pig by winning my last tournament I ever won.
And Tiger, was that difficult to manage as a playing captain?
Oh, my God. It was it ever. I had incredible guys. There was Fred and Strix, and I just did not sleep. You know, there was quite a bit of jet lag, but obviously there's a lot of responsibility as a player and as a captain.
Tiger Woods having some fun with the NBC Golf broadcast team. The results this year, not so fun. You see the WD of illness at Riviera. Made it to the weekend at the Masters. One of those 23 holes he played on Friday. Finished 60th and missed the cut in the final three majors of 2024. You know, you see him sitting up there, Anna, with the biceps flexed and the Sunday red shirt, and you're thinking maybe, just maybe, but then you see the calendar says it'll be 49 at the end of the year, 50 next year, and you know that Scotty and Xander and Colin are sharp as knives.
Yeah, I think for golf fans and for Tiger himself, it's just a question of working week by week by week, isn't it? It's very hard to look ahead and predict where we might see Tiger and how he's going to compete. And I suppose the most demanding question right now is the PNC Championship. Will we be seeing him at the PNC? Now, that is riding a golf cart. That is a scramble. That is low level. Couple of days in Florida.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's a benchmark maybe for getting a gauge of what we might see going forward?
I think so. I mean, the way golf is played these days, it is holistic. It's physical, mental, emotional. It's diet. It's workout. It's time on the range and the short game area. A, can Tiger's body withstand that? And B, he talked about his busy schedule with the PGA Tour policy board. And it just seems like when he was in his 20s and his 30s and the body cooperated more than it is now, golf was everything. Competition was everything. Instead, we're talking about, you know, a sixth back surgery, micro decompression this time to relieve the back spasms and the pain that was going down his leg. By all accounts, the surgery was successful, but it's still, once again, the body undergoing surgery and undergoing the knife,
yeah.
And that takes a toll.
Yeah, a wise woman once said to me that you sort of know when you're coming to the end of a phase in life is when you spend more time reflecting back than you do looking forward, and you stop thinking about what might be possible, and you start to look back on everything that you have achieved. And a huge part of what Tiger does right now is, as you say, trying to protect his legacy by getting the PGA Tour in the best possible shape it can be, and that is figuring this all out with the PIF and how that is all going to work. And for him, it feels like that could be the more important priority than just grinding it out on a daily basis, putting himself through so much pain, obviously, to do what he loves. But it's such a tall task what he's trying to achieve.
Yeah, if you listen to that sound that we just played from Tiger, it's something very subtle. And John Wood asked him the question about Keegan and the playing captain. And he talked about when Tiger was the playing captain in 2019. And he said, you know what, it followed my last ever win. Mm. It followed my last ever win. And I don't know if he meant, like, forever, as the song goes, but it just was kind of interesting to hear him say, yeah, that was my last ever win, meaning the Zozo. And I just wonder maybe that it was. And maybe there is somewhere in his mind and body a recognition that for him to play the type of golf, and he said it this week, I'm just not sharp enough to compete against this ilk of player. And maybe the bottom line is he may never be sharp enough because of reps or body or mentality or something to ever be able to go toe-to-toe
with this version of Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, et cetera.
And that's the kind of, you would think, the beginning of the end. When you're trying to achieve something that so many people think is unachievable, when you maybe start to see a glimmer of doubt, that's when things get even harder. But you know what? We always say it at the end of a Tiger Woods chat, it's Tiger Woods.
You never know.
He's broken all the boundaries that we thought were never possible to begin with. So we'll wait to see if Tiger is going to play in the PNC. But before that, let's just get you caught up on some of the other news from around the world of golf this weekend, starting on the DP World Tour with a bit of an update. As yesterday in the Nedbank Golf Challenge in South Africa, it was American Johannes Veerman who secured his second career title on the DP World Tour in just his first start in what is considered South Africa's major. The win comes more than 3 years after his first win on the DP World Tour, and for now he holds the top spot in the DP World Tour rankings. So some more notes on our winner. He is the second consecutive American to win the Nedbank Golf Challenge following Max Homan's victory back in 2023. And this win marks the 271st win by an American player on the DP World Tour. And he's also the second American winner of the Young 2025 DP World Tour season following Rick Johnston, who won in Australia.
Gorgeous blue sky, Sun City, some great safaris not too far from the Nedbank Golf Challenge. All right, folks, when Golf Today continues, we're checking in on the winners who didn't win over the weekend, which performance makes our list, and who is primed for a big 2025. Stay tuned. We're back on Golf Today. Time now for the winners who didn't win the trophy from over the weekend. Not Justin Thomas, two-time PGA champ, former world number one. At the 54-hole lead by a shot, you know, he finished third, but, you know, making a birdie putt there on the fourth hole.
Yeah, good to see him back in the mix.
It is.
I think golfers miss Justin Thomas being hot on a Sunday. It wasn't obviously his day yesterday. Didn't quite play the front nine how he wanted to, but that longer driver, interesting.
Yeah, 46 inches, put it in play. This week, 367-yard drive on the par 4, 13th. It'll be his longest drive of the day. How about that? He's feeling good about it. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yes, we will. This is on the 14th as well. He's got the driver in hand. This is fun.
Yeah, I don't get to do this ever, I guess I would say. That was beautiful, setting up a...
What the viewers have never seen, don't tell them, D-Hack. All they know, you're driving par fours on a weekly basis.
Thank you, Anna.
As I said, good to see JT back in the mix. Just take a little reminder of his last 8 worldwide starts. Not quite the lost season as we saw last year. He did make the FedEx Cup this season, which was good to see, finishing tied for 14th at the Tour Championship, runner-up at the Zozo, and then, of course, had his little baby Molly Grayson came back with a top three finish this week. The word I'm going to use is trending, Damon. Wouldn't you say with JT?
I would, and he's excited about this new driver shaft, 46 inches in length that he put in place. He says he's been hitting it in Florida. He brought it out to the Bahamas and said it's not even the great golf course necessarily for the club. He says it's about 8 to 10 yards longer in terms of carry distance, and he can run it even farther than that once it hits the ground. And he says, listen, other golf courses in 2025, he thinks it's going to be a great fit for him. Makes me think, Anna, of Augusta National, maybe Quail Hollow in the PGA, Oakmont in a U.S. Open. And I know putting is critical, and that has often been the Achilles heel for Justin Thomas. But I think in the modern game, the driver just sets up the rest of a player's game. You think of Rory and what a weapon it is. I think the driver for Justin Thomas, if he's hitting it 350, 360, can really set up the rest of his game. And to hear him post-round this past week at the Bahamas, he's very, very excited about his prospects, and he is a player who is trending up.
Yeah, he is sort of the poster boy for really kind of using the ground to get that power, and he just rips it off the tee. And we know from previous years with Justin Thomas, no one is harder on themselves than he is.
Yeah.
He has such high expectations of what he should be achieving in this game. We haven't seen him win now since 2022.
Yeah.
So if he can just keep, you know, the hard work, as Tiger said, he chats with JT every day. He said it's starting to pay off now in the fall. So it's going to be, I think, exciting to see if we can get JT kind of back in that top five, top top 10 of next year.
And fun seeing some of the close-ups of Justin Thomas's feet and showing him kind of jumping off the ground. Mm-hmm. Tiger said he used to do that as a young player in his 20s on the PGA Tour. All right, folks, time now, though, for the FootJoy top five moments of joy. And who had more joy in his golf life and maybe life off the course than the world number one, Scottie Scheffler? You can call the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard. Rory suggests put the mallet putter in and what a five-shot win.
An innocent suggestion by Rory McIlroy that would turn Scottie Scheffler into a demon on the greens for the rest of the season. Maybe Rory might be regretting that slice of advice that he gave him. But it was just the beginning of what was to come. Just what, a week later, he went on to do this at the Players, Damon, a final day that I don't think we were all expecting at the start of Sunday.
Had a burger Sunday night in Orlando, drove up to Ponte Vedra Beach, was on the golf course Monday working on his game. Now he's holding out golf shots. And Tim, he had to work for this one. You had Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark and Xander Schauffele in the mix. He finds out on the range he is the first player ever to win the Players' Championship in back-to-back years.
Ooh, smiles for Scottie Scheffler. But you know what? It was going to get a little bit sweeter. That was by picking up his second green jacket in 3 years. Just so cool, so calm and collected on one of the most pressure-packed Sundays any player could come under.
Four-shot win over Ludvig Åberg. I'm thinking maybe he's trying to rest a little bit, foot off the gas, but that's just not how Scottie is built. He's well off the podium on that final day outside of Paris, but a back nine, 29. He called it the best stretch of golf that he played. Starts rolling it in from everywhere. And I think this is what makes this an historic year, but this is the moment, the tears on the podium. And I'm a big tennis fan as well. And I saw Novak Djokovic in tears as well as he won Olympic gold for the first time. I just tell you, something about the Olympics, Anna, it just hits different, as the kids say.
It does. Representing the red, white, and blue, Scottie just couldn't hold it in. But financially, nothing puts him more better off than picking up the FedEx Cup. He did start the week with a slight advantage, but still, it was just summed up the year that he had.
Yeah, and there's the family. And I remember speaking to Randy Smith, his coach, when Scottie won the Players for the first time, and he said Scottie couldn't tell you how many, within several zeros, how much money he's made in golf. He's built to win. He's just one of those insatiable characters like Tiger. Just, he's hungry. Yeah. He's just constantly, endlessly hungry as if he's never won before.
That's right. And he whacked another $1 million in the bank this weekend by winning the Hero World Challenge, his ninth worldwide victory of the year. Over on the DP World Tour, it was Johannes Veerman who won at the Nedbank Golf Challenge. And on the Saudi International, it was Joaquin Niemann with a win over his fellow LIV players in Cam Smith and Caleb Surratt. Well, when Golf Today returns, we will have more on the dominance of Scottie Scheffler as Golf Channel senior writers Rex Hoggard and Ryan Lavner join in the fun to give us their thoughts.
We're back on Golf Today. We look back at some of the countless amazing accomplishments of Tiger Woods' career, including his 5 wins in the Hero World Challenge, which he hosts, a tournament he founded back in 2000. Tiger won in 01, 04, 06, 07, and 2011 as well, while finishing second 5 times in this event. Yeah, it means a lot to him, and apparently means a lot to Scottie Scheffler as well. Yesterday, adding his name to the Hero World Challenge for the second straight year, joining Tiger and Victor Hovland as the only players to successfully defend their Hero titles. And he did so in dominant fashion, a 6-shot victory, 9 birdies in that final round of 63. Tom Kim, a constant foil in the PGA Tour for the world number one. Time now for a Golf Today roundtable. Let's welcome in Golf Channel senior writers Rex Hoggard and Ryan Lavner. Rex, you're still in the Bahamas, man. I'm curious about the vibe, because in the jungle, the lion likes to bat the prey around a little bit before going in for the kill. A saw grip and a six-shot victory. What was the vibe like at Albany?
I actually like that. That's a perfect analogy, Damon, because what you saw yesterday here in Albany was just a clinic of what he's doing. And this is Scotty Scheffler at his absolute best. He was doing the normal things that we're used to seeing him doing, dominating with just sublime ball striking. But then you add this claw grip, which apparently he's been tinkering with the last few months, and he brings that to the table, and this is what you get with it. Not only did he finish fourth in the field in strokes gained putting, but he also converted 63 of 65 putts from 10 feet and in. That's always sort of that crucial range where he goes to that putt. We've said it all along that if he just putted average, that if he didn't give any strokes to the field on the greens, that he would win more times than that. Now he's doing it better than almost anyone else in the field, and you end up with a six-shot victory.
Lav, this has been just the cherry on top for what has been a groundbreaking, remarkable season for Scotty Scheffler. When you look at what he's achieved, the 9 worldwide wins, the Olympic gold, you know, the Masters, the Players, the FedEx Cup, it goes on and breaking out of jail to make his tee time at the PGA Championship. It's been unforgettable. But for you, Lav, when you look back at everything that he has achieved, what will this season be remembered for? What is his greatest moment of the year for you?
The greatest golf that Scottie Scheffler played was the back nine, 29, to win the Olympic gold medal. I think the most astounding performance was what he did at the PGA Championship, a tournament in which he didn't even win, but still finished in the top 10, despite beginning the day of his second round in a holding cell in Louisville. I think what's going to be remembered about Scottie Scheffler's 2024 is just his mind-numbing consistency. We've seen now the best consistent season since Tiger Woods' prime. And then, as Rex addressed, you know, he's sort of systematically, Scottie Scheffler is addressing one of the few weaknesses he even has. And so the Hero World Challenge, I think, was a fitting reminder of his ball striking excellence. And then this should have served as a warning shot to everybody. I know it's a small sample size. I know it's a 1 week sample size, but this certainly looked like the undisputed best player in the world just got even better. Look out for 2025.
Wow, and Scotty accepting that trophy from Tiger for the second straight year. Rex, I'm curious. Tiger had his 11 minutes with Dan Hicks and Smiley Kaufman Sunday in the NBC Golf Tower. He had his pre-tournament press conference. For the Tiger fan at home, is it time to turn the page? He's going to be 49 in a few weeks. He said he's not sharp enough to compete with these kids like Scotty and Xander, at least at present. Or can the Tiger fan hold out hope for one more rabbit out of the playing hat?
Damon, I'm like you. I got out of the Tiger Woods doubting business a long time ago because he's proven us wrong so many times. But I think when you look at where he is right now, not so much the state of his game, but the state of his body. And Lav and I talked about this last week on the podcast. The idea that I sat down for that press conference on Tuesday with Tiger, less interested in his game than I was in the game, his thoughts on the game. A member of the PGA Tour's policy board, someone who has probably the loudest voice, the most important voice in that room, everything that's going on outside the ropes. It almost felt to me, and we have sat through these press conferences before. We do it every year with Jack Nicklaus at the Memorial. We used to do it with the late, great Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill once a year, where they would have a press conference and sort of address everything in golf. That's what it seems like Tiger is sort of moving towards. It's like he's become this elder statesman of the game, and I think he started to embrace it a little bit. His playing days aren't over. He is clearly still driven to compete, but it's hard at this point to imagine how he can get his body to cooperate.
Yeah, I think one of the most telling phrases last week at the Hero World Challenge Rex was Tiger saying that he's not yet competitive, quote, at this level. And we have asked Tiger to make so many comebacks over the past 15 years, and with how much time it's going to require him to be able to put in on the range and on the practice putting green to compete against the Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Jon Rahm. It just seems like a little bit too much. And this is not new analysis, but over the past couple of years, you know, Tiger is only playing the toughest schedule against the best field. You'd love to see him play in quote-unquote warm-up events where, you know, he can make a bunch of birdies, he can get some good vibes, he can get 72 holes of tournament competition under his belt. He just doesn't have enough faith in his body that he can do that, plus play the major championships and hope to catch lightning in a bottle, which is clearly what the hope has been over these past 3 years.
Rex, no doubt Tiger wants to play. Of course he wants to play. This is his world. This is his passion. This is all that he knows. Do you think at this point the golf fan wants him to play as much as he wants to play, just in terms of
how tough it can be to see him out there struggling physically as much as he does. You know, we've seen it over the last couple of years. Is that desire for the fan as strong as it ever has been at this point, do you think?
I think the fans definitely want to see him play still, but I think no one wants it more than Tiger Woods. I mean, he is driven by competition. And I will say this, I was impressed with the way he sort of bounded down the stairs on Sunday afternoon to go to the 18th green to congratulate Scottie Scheffler. He is moving better than I've seen him move in recent years. But as Lab just pointed out, the body is just not cooperating. And I think he's driven. And when we get a situation where he's going to show up next year at Augusta National, and everyone's going to be fixated on what he could possibly do, because we've seen it so many times. But I don't think anybody wants it more than Tiger.
Well, Lav, most would say the biggest story of 2024, Scottie Scheffler, now with 9 wins around the world. Others would say it's the impasse in professional golf. What would you say is the story we should look forward to in 2025?
The story we should look forward to is more Scottie Scheffler. I mean, it's hard to imagine that he can do even better in 2025. But keep in mind, you know, his 2024 was plagued by some pretty big distractions, whether it was the birth of his first child, obviously the arrest and the fallout there. I mean, 9 wins is going to be so hard to duplicate as an encore. But I think the lingering question for the golf world is who can step up and challenge Scottie Scheffler. We saw it at times that it could be Xander Schauffele. We've seen it over the past couple of years that it could be a player who gets hot like a Victor Hovland. Maybe potentially, if you're forecasting, it could be Ludvig Åberg if he continues to win a little bit more. We're missing a foil. We're missing a challenger. We're missing a rival. I think John Rahm, of the players we've mentioned most recently over the past couple of years, had that potential to sort of be the thorn in Scottie Scheffler's side, or sort of the thing that could thwart some of his dominance. He's not there anymore. I'm looking for a player to step up and do it in 2025, because I think that could make an even bigger story, which is Scottie's dominance, even more compelling for the golf fan.
I wish I could sit here and say that it's going to be something that happens inside the ropes. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele challenging for that top spot in golf. The Ryder Cup at Bethpage, like all of these things that are going to happen next year inside the ropes are so compelling, but I'm going to be realistic and I'm going to say it's going to be what's going to happen outside the ropes. We have now stretched into the second year of negotiations between the PGA Tour and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, and we don't seem to be any closer to an answer. So I don't see us moving on from this. We don't want to talk about it. I know the fans are tired of talking about it. Certainly the players are fatigued, but we're not going to move on until we come to some sort of solution.
Can we please move on, Rex? Can we please? We're all sick and tired of talking about it.
Me too.
But you have been doing a phenomenal job covering that story since day dot. So, of course, you're going to be the man on top of all of it. Lav, you kind of touched on it there, but if anyone, it's going to be so hard to knock Scottie off the run that he is on. I guess the X-Man looks like the man who could be, but has he even got what it takes to kind of tuck into to the gap that Scottie has created for himself?
Well, I think Xander proved that in 2024, getting off the major snide. And if you look at it, he's the most complete player in golf, the only player ranked in the top 100 who is top 40 in every major statistical category. Scottie Scheffler does not have a weakness, potentially, after switching to the claw and the saw grip as well. But Xander Schauffele is just, through the bag, the most complete player in golf. You look at sort of the career Grand Slam. That's now a track that's viable for Xander Schauffele. The Masters, the U.S. Open, the two majors that Xander has not won. He actually has the best record of the four major championships in those two. I like the changes that Rory McIlroy has made with his golf swing, trying to be more efficient, trying to make sure that holds up in real time. And I think, guys, there could probably be some breakthroughs down the line as well. Justin Thomas looks like he's sort of rounding into the form that we're accustomed to seeing that made him one of the best of his generation. Will Zalatoris is looking for a bounce back after a sort of an injury plague last couple years as well. And then I think you have a bunch of young stars headlined by Luke Clanton who could make that next leap as well. But this is still going to be Scottie Scheffler's tour in 2025.
And I agree with Lab. I think Xander would be the obvious choice here based on what he did. And I found it fascinating last week when we asked Scottie about his season. He actually had a little bit of jealousy for Xander's season, because you win two majors. That's what it's really about. Tiger Woods was pretty clear talking about that. And I like JT. He clearly is on his upswing. You look at what Rory McIlroy has done with his swing. You'd have to keep an eye on him. But I don't know how they do it. When you look at what Scottie did last night, again, last week, again, small sample size, but the ball striking is not going to go away. He has proven that's a constant. That is not a variable. And then you look at what he's been able to do really the last year with his putty with Phil Kenyon. tell me how those guys are going to do it. I love the conversation I had with Tom Kim on Sunday. No one is closer to Scotty on tour than Tom Kim. And I asked him, you play a lot with him at home. Like, how do you beat him? He goes, I don't know. I've never done it before.
A very good point. He is the man who has got everything through the bag. Final question. Lab, your own ideas, guys. Scotty, the man who's got everything. What would you get Scotty Scheffler for Christmas? That's my question to you.
Another major championship in 2025. He's got two Masters titles in the last 3 years, but a major championship would just sort of bolster his resume, his legacy, even more than just mopping up against the best fields in the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Good news for Scotty Scheffler is I don't think that he needs us to put that under the tree. I'm pretty sure he can do that himself. But yeah, it's going to be an amazing year for Scotty. Boys, thank you both so much for your time, as always. And if you're in the market for a podcast, be sure to listen to the Golf Channel podcast with Rex Hoggart and Ryan Lavner. And if you miss any of the show, check out the Golf Today podcast, which includes the best interviews from the show. And be sure to subscribe to the Golf Channel YouTube page.